We'll be turning with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel 7, we have David making the request of Nathan the prophet to build a house for the Lord. Verse 2 says that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." Nathan's response to that at first in verse 3 is to say to David, "Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Then that very night, the Lord appears to Nathan in a dream and wants him to go and give to David a message. And David learns then that he's not going to be the one to build that house. He tells him exactly what's going to happen. The immediate prophecy there, we find that it refers to the temple built by Solomon after David's death. But what we have given in verses 12 and 13 especially is a dual prophecy. The immediate, as I said, has to do with Solomon and the building of the temple to God. But the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy is found in the building of God's spiritual house, the church. You see, the church is referred to in the New Testament as a house. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, we read there, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So friends, let's take a look this evening at the construction of God's house, the church. It's good to be reminded of these things from time to time. This construction project, as we look at this evening, we'll see is like none other. Every single thing about it was right, and so it really truly is like none other, and we know that God gets it right 100% of the time. Let's notice 2 Samuel chapter 7, and verse 12 beginning. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." When thy days be fulfilled, Nathan tells David. So thy days here refers to the life of David. And be fulfilled means that when they have come to pass. In other words, David, his days have been full. He's going to have passed on from this life. And so he's not going to be there to build this temple. David is to understand that. "Thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." In other words, David would slumber in death. He would join his ancestors before him. See, the timing of the construction of God's house will take place after his death. David was to understand that. It seemed that David truly wanted to build this house, but God had told him before that he was a man of blood, and he was not going to be able to do that. Notice as well, as we look at 12, "Set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." Now, the kingdom of which we are a part, was to take place during the last days. Joel 2 and verse 28. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3 prophesies of a kingdom that would take place or would be set up in the days of those kings in the last days. And Micah 4 verses 1 and 2 says the same. So we see then that the house of God was going to be built then at the right time, when time has been fulfilled. Now, let's not stop there. Let's look at the end of verse 12. God's house was going to be built by the right builder. Notice that Nathan tells David, God saying through Nathan, "I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels." Now, friends, we know that the seed here is a reference to the descendants of David. Immediately, who's it speaking of? Solomon. Solomon is going to be the one to build the temple of God. And the building of that house was then to be done by Solomon, that descendant of David. And that fits into the immediate prophecy of the temple. Solomon, of course, was the son of David. But looking at the dual prophecy, the ultimate fulfillment comes with whom? Christ. Christ building his house, building the house of God. Jesus would, through the seed line of David, build a spiritual temple, the church. We see that seed line in Matthew chapter 1, don't we? If we were to go and read Matthew 1, we would see there that Jesus was a direct descendant of David. And so he was there in that seed line. We go to Luke and we see the same thing. Both sides of his family, on his mother's side and his earthly father's side, Jesus is a direct descendant of David. The Bible tells us that Christ would sit upon the throne of David, that throne being a spiritual throne. David's throne was earthly, we know. Acts 2, 29 and 30 tells us that Christ would sit upon that throne, but Christ said his kingdom was not of this world, John 18 and verse 36, right? So the throne of David is the throne promised here that we see. He's going to establish his kingdom. The reference here to the kingdom in the ultimate sense of the word, in the immediate sense of the word, rather, is Solomon's kingdom. The kingdom in the ultimate fulfillment, of course, refers to what? The church. Refers to the church that Christ built. Friends, God's house being built by the right builder, we also see that God's house was to be built by a proud owner. Notice verse 13 now. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Notice first of all that phrase, he shall build a house for my name. The he here, of course, is in the immediate sense Solomon. House in the immediate sense speaks of the temple. But if we were to look at it again, the he would refer to whom? Christ. And the house there in the ultimate sense refers to the church. Again, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, God's house being referred to as also the Lord's church. Now, notice also again that phrase, he shall build a house for my name. For my name. As a proud owner, God claims ownership of his house. Christ said, I will build my church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. So to whom does it belong? Belongs to Christ. Belongs to God. As a proud owner of this house, the house bears his name. Romans 16 and verse 16, Paul writes what? The churches of Christ. In other words, the churches that belong to Christ salute you. It bears his name. So why does the church of Christ bear his name then? Because he owns it. It belongs to him. It was built by a proud owner. God's house, number 4, was built to last. Notice the end of verse 13 again. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Notice the text says his kingdom would last forever. The kingdom here refers to the church. Can't refer to the temporary temple. It refers to the church. Solomon's reign was going to be temporary. Solomon wasn't going to live forever. Solomon wasn't going to have a kingdom that was going to last forever, but the kingdom, the church, is never going to lose its glory. We look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. We see a kingdom there which shall never be destroyed, Daniel says. 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, Peter refers to the kingdom as the everlasting kingdom. Friends, simply, the kingdom will last forever. You think about houses built today. Even the most well-built house will last only for a little while. I hunted with some folks in Alabama. And the place that we hunted the last year that we lived there, we had acquired an extra 20 acres on the front of that property. Walking through it one day, I noticed there was a chimney. Nothing left of the house but a chimney. The chimney must have been well built, but it was in disarray. The house was completely gone. No trace of it left. Friends, no matter how well built the house, it's only going to last a short amount of time when you put things in perspective. But when we read of God's house, his house will not diminish with time because it is built on the solid rock of Christ. When God built his house, everything about it was right. It was built by the right builder. It was built at the right time. It was built by a proud owner, and it was built to last. My friends, When we think of the construction of God's house, we have to understand that if it wasn't built by the right person, if it wasn't built at the right time, if it doesn't bear the right name, then it's not the house that God built. We must understand that. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. So what should I do if I want to live in God's house? Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells me that I must put him on in baptism. But why must I put on Christ, friends? Because it's the only place salvation is found, is in him. Acts 4 and verse 12, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. If I want salvation, if I want to be saved, I must be found in Christ. The only way to get in Christ, we know, is through baptism. So friends, our next question is, are you dwelling in God's house this evening? Where will you be found when the trump sounds? Don't you want to live in this house with God forever? The one that He built? Friend, if you're here having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not now? Don't put it off any longer. Be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Friend, are you here having done those things? Have you fallen away? Would you come home? Would you be His once more? Come back to the house of God. Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?